With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hello everyone, Shannon Gauthier getting you ready for our finale exit interviews for Australian Survivor All Stars. We did get all three exit interviews from our final three, and I will deliver them to you in the order in which those players finished. So if you haven't watched, I do recommend you check out now, because I'm about to ruin it for you by giving you the order. So first up, we have our winner, Dave Jennett, amazing player, obviously amazing game, was great to chat to him. About 18 minutes in, we also have Sean, and then about 27 minutes in, we get Mo as well. Just a warning that the connection with Sean was really not great. It dropped out a lot. We tried to edit around that, but unfortunately we couldn't get as much out of that as I would like, especially with the back-to-back exit interviews and having to rush to the next one. Of course, we did get some great insights from her, as you would expect, but I am very happy that we will be getting a deep dive with her to get more of that. We're also going to get a deep dive with Dave and some of the other players. So now that the season is over, we will be moving into some postseason coverage, getting some great insights, I should hope, with these players. And we've still got more coming up. I've got a recap with Mike Bloom that I'm recording tonight, so that's going to be super, super fun. I will just give this all to you on the other side of the exit interviews. We can chat after that. So hope you guys enjoy, and I will see you on the other side. Dave, welcome to the podcast. Congratulations. You pulled it out. Somehow you made it work with an incredible performance. Congrats.
Oh, we did it, huh?
You incredible. Did.
Would you have believed that the last time we were doing this interview?
Genuinely, no. No, I think I did a podcast after the last season and we talked about who we thought would win on a returning season. And I don't think we said you. Like, you're not similar to the winners Australian Survivor has ever had. So this is surprising and you have broken some molds here.
Well, it's good we get a chance to do that, I think.
Yeah. Well, we're going to definitely chat, you know, have a longer chat after this is all done. But I wanted to hit some of the major questions. Some people might have some pressing questions. The first one you had the decision between Mo and Sean last night. What were you weighing up in making that decision?
Oh, man, it was purely a strategic decision. I felt very confident against both the girls. Mm-hmm. Going into that final tribal, I felt like, you know, I played the game I needed to play. I had definitive moves that could separate my game from both of theirs. And it really came down to, in the end, that I wanted to win by the biggest margin possible. And if I could, sweep the jury. And when I stacked up who I thought might catch votes, I was breaking it down. And I thought I had a good relationship with Taz, but Taz being a super loyal guy, he might catch Mo's, might throw Mo a vote just because they've been playing together from the first day. And now Tarzan and I had been playing together from the first day. With our relationship, but we hadn't voted together the whole way. And Mo had really been looking at Tars, looking after Tars. So that started things. I was like, maybe she'll catch Tars. I thought maybe she would catch Jackie's vote because she'd also been very, very loyal to Jackie. But in retrospect, I think actually Jackie probably would have gone for the better gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I looked at Sean, I really felt like I had a great chance to sweep the jury. And after having gone through the game like that, and I'm going to sound very conceited here, but I felt like I played close to the perfect game. I wanted the perfect ending. And unfortunately, it wasn't to be. It was 8-1. Mm-hmm. But, that was purely the only thing I was thinking of in the decision. I felt very warm towards both girls. I have great relationships with them both. I loved them both almost equally. A really tough decision, but it was purely strategic.
Yeah, I mean, it's not conceded. Your game really was that good. Were you surprised then that Mo didn't vote for you and did give you that 8-1, which, let's be honest, doesn't really matter. It's not something that we're going to look back on and, like, take away from your game. But I understand you wanted a clean sweep. So were you surprised by that?
I was a little surprised by that, actually. But in retrospect, I knew Sean and Mo had a very, very close relationship. We spent a lot of time talking, the three of us, but they were good friends outside the game. And I don't begrudge her voting for Sean. I think actually it added a cool little moment, even for me when those votes were being read, for that to come out. I definitely, you know, my heart went up into my throat for a second there where I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Because I thought if she's going to catch any vote, it's going to be the second one or they'll read hers as the first one. And when it came out as the third one, I was like, she's got two votes here. This is not ideal. But fortunately, the ship steadied and I sailed on through. But, you know, people vote how they want to vote with the information they have at the time they have. They don't get to watch the show back. They're voting kind of based on what you've told them. And I told them some pretty crazy stuff. So there's a part of me that probably thinks sometimes they were like, nah, that wasn't really what happened. And then getting to watch it back, maybe they get a fresh perspective on it. Like, what? Mm-hmm. What? How did that happen?
Well, let's talk about some of that crazy stuff, which, again, we'll go in-depth with in the deep dive. But for now, do you have a move you think was your best move in the game?
I this is a tough one because I really love Phoebe as a person. And I know people thought this was really, really super harsh gameplay. But getting her to tell me where that idol was and then finding it behind her back, I mean, to me that was just, I couldn't believe my luck, you know, and especially already having an idol and now being able to hold two. Putting Phoebe out of the game on that move was for me probably my biggest move of the season, I would have said, just for the position it put me in. And I have very specific ideas about when I think I would need to have idols, and that's kind of why I got blindsided the first season, you know. I'm like, I need an idol for F7. And so to have two idols and that little bit of breathing space when I needed it was pretty, pretty awesome. And it set me up to be able to, it freed my game up because I didn't have to worry about other idols being in the game. I didn't have to worry about, you know, being leveraged by people saying they had idols or this and that. And it just freed up so much mental space for me to be able to think about other parts of my game.
Well, let's talk about those idols. You played one for Tarzan at the final eight. What was your rationale behind that?
So we were going into rocks, and I was almost considering not playing an idol that night because I had the immunity. But I've been telling my alliance, like, I'll play an idol for you. And we'd already seen with Zach vote out. Mo kind of gave me a little heads up that he might be getting voted out. And I actually just didn't believe her at the time. My read was a bit wrong on that because Mo and Sean had done a great job of hiding their knowledge of that vote from me. So fair play to them. That was a great move by them. They held it very close to their chest. And so I've been saying, I will play an idol for you. I'll play an idol for you. And then I wanted to show them that I would play an idol for them. And I knew something crazy was going to happen that night. So when it came out to be rocks, I thought it's either Mo or Tarzan catching votes, and I wanted to mitigate those percentages so that we had the lowest chance of missing someone on those rocks. Now, we had 1 in 4 of Sean going, and I just thought in my mind, like, AK is a big game player. Now, I know those guys love the thought of, like, gambling. I would never gamble my game away on rocks like that for a minority alliance member like Jackie, who was already at the bottom of their alliance. And I have the theory that just one more day in the game, no matter what. So I was really confident thinking, look, I play an idol here for either Taz or Mo, and it doesn't matter whether it goes to Taz or Mo, they will not go to rocks. I was very, very confident of that. And so I playable primarily for Tars because he was kind of my closest ally at the time, and I thought either I go Tars, it mitigates the votes on Tars and he's gone, or I go Mo and mitigate the votes on Mo and they're gone, and then we would have, you know, got what we wanted anyway. But as it was, it strengthened my alliance with Tarzan, and Tarzan had really had my back through Merge, as had Mo. But Tars was giving me basically so much information in relation to Shan's moves and even Mo's moves and telling me when people were trying to blindside me. So I really wanted to show Tars that, hey, man, I got your back too.
And then, you know, Shan is left out of that. Obviously, you're talking about Mo and Tarzan. But she's a big player for you, and she was loyal to you through a lot of that end game. So how was your relationship with her? You seem like you're closer to the other two, but she seemed pivotal to your game at times.
She was, and purely from the standpoint that I knew Shan was out to get me and a lot of votes. And it wasn't that I wasn't close with Shan. I was super close with Shan. We had a great relationship. But I was constantly selling the idea to Mo and Shan, and we'll talk about this more in the deep dive, but basically saying, like, look, they're out to get ex-champion. I was constantly selling them that. And when that started happening with, Abby and Lydia and Matt and those guys disappearing, it started to kind of manifest itself. And I think they did start to be like, you know what, maybe this is happening. Maybe seasons one and two are coming for chance. So I was constantly kind of like selling that thread to them. And then I couldn't get on the same page as Shan straight away at Makuta. Mo knew I'd had her back in a couple of votes because of the Phoebe thing and the Nick thing. And even though we had some rocky patches at the start, we'd got back on the same page. But it just took me a while to get Shan to come around to my way of thinking. And so whilst we played like very, very close, I really felt like Tarzan and then Mo were my kind of OGs, and that Shan had been pulled into our orbit, you know?
Yeah, I mean, to talk back to Tarzan, when he goes at the final five, it was kind of packaged to us like the three girls working against you and there being like not a lot that you could do at that point. But as I was working through it, I was like, I think maybe you could have done something here. It seems like Brooke would have worked with you. So I have to feel like you actively were okay with Tarzan going or actively wanted him to go. Is that true?
That is true, yeah. At that point in the game, Brooke had just been such a beast at the immunities, and I was so sick. And I was starting to doubt my ability to be able to beat her. And I thought, if anyone's going to be able to give her a run for her money, it's going to be me. I've been finishing second in all these challenges, and it basically had been Brooke, me second, and then a distant third everyone else. And when I looked at what was happening in the individual immunities and how they'd been going, I really just started to think in my head, look, who's going to give us the best chance to possibly beat Brooke if I can't? And it really just came down to the fact that I thought Mo and Shan had a better job or a better chance of beating Brooke in an individual immunity because I knew they needed Brooke gone. Like, Brooke needed to go from the perspective of me, Shan, Tarzan, and Mo. We all needed Brooke gone because she was going to come into Final Tribal Council and probably catch all those Vakama votes. We wanted her out desperately. Brooke wasn't an issue for me. I knew she was going to go at some point. She just had to be beaten in an immunity. So when I was weighing up the pros and cons of who to keep at the five, I realized that I needed to push forward Tarzan as the person that had to go home on that vote, purely just because I thought, you know, Shan's a bit of a challenge because she won a lot of individual immunities the last time, and Mo could show up when she needed to, you know. And unfortunately, in the individual game, Tars hadn't really been performing. And so in my mind, I was like, well, we need those two girls to try and give us at least some chance of getting through and beating her in the individual immunity. And I told that to them too. I was like, look, this is the way I'm thinking about it, that one of us has to beat Brooke or none of us is going to go to the end here.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I want to jump back. We're jumping all around, but we'll go more comprehensively in the deep dive. But going back,
totally, yeah.
way back to first, you know, Vakama, we've heard from others that they at least heavily suspected, if not outright knew, that you were the mole. So where was your head at this time? Did you know how suspected you were? Did you feel like you were on the chopping block? Like, where do you sit with that?
Look, I definitely didn't feel like I was on the chopping block at all. And I know people were saying, oh, we knew this and we knew that. But when you're playing out there, there's so much doubt about certain things that unless you see it with your own eyes, it's very hard to put into words how untrustworthy information can be. And one of the things that really worries me about Matt working with him is that he was going around saying a lot of different stories to a lot of different people. And at first that sketched me out because he was telling a couple of people early on that I was the mole. But he was also telling me and other people that, you know, Lockie was the mole or that Phoebe was betraying them.
So there
was
like, why are you telling me this? I am the mole.
Yeah. So there was enough misdirection coming from Matt that it put enough shadow of a doubt over that idea that I was the mole. Whether they knew it or not, whether they were going to act on it or not, there was a billion different plans in the works, you know? So for someone to come out, oh, we knew he was going to get voted out next for sure. You don't know what was going to happen the next day. You don't know what was going to happen the day after that. So I think it's really difficult to sit here and say, oh, no, I knew this and that's what the plan was going to be. Now, sure, that plan was floated voting me out. That plan was getting floated every day, but nobody was able to vote me out. I was floating plans to vote people out all the time. Like Lockie and I and Matt were bartering for like who we would keep in the game as a strong three, but you don't see any of those conversations. So I know that's one where people are like, oh, did they know? They did know, they knew that would have changed the game if it hadn't have swapped, but that's unfortunately the game and they might have known, but they didn't do anything about it. So that's just how it goes.
Yeah, very true. Okay, a couple of questions while we have time. You played back-to-back, as we heard, consecutive days, a lot of consecutive days. You looked very beat up by the end. Like, how was that physically and mentally to have that experience so close together?
Oh, man, it was really tough. I took an absolute beating. The first time I played, I had a couple of little scrapes and things here, yeah, but nothing that I felt like I couldn't handle. But I felt like All-Stars, I was stretched to the point of almost not being able to handle it. And flying back into Australia, I was almost catatonic, to be honest. My family ended up flying directly back to New York, and I flew to Australia just to see the doctors and get all my stuff looked at. And I felt like I wasn't even there. And I hadn't kind of come back into my body for like a solid 2 or 3 days. They don't really show too much of the reaction, but my wife was like distraught the first time. She kind of saw me and we got a chance to talk, and coming home and seeing my parents, and I was like almost 15 kilograms lighter than I had been when they'd seen me before. And it was pretty intense.
Yeah, you went through a lot, but very well earned. I usually ask, I've asked for every interview, would you play again? For you, I kind of feel like I have to ask, like, when, not if, you know, I'm sure. When is this happening?
Oh, yeah,
US Survivor, definitely. Australian Survivor, what's the next step?
Look, I'm not going to say no to Australian Survivor. I'm not super keen to play Aussie Survivor again. It's not that I wouldn't. It would have to be something really, really interesting for me to play, like theme-wise. I don't think I'd be interested to just go back in like a regular season capacity or even an all-star capacity. I think it'd have to be a pretty interesting hook for me to play Aussie Survivor again. It's just so brutal. But I am definitely going to play US Survivor, and we'll just see when that happens. So I'm going to give it, I want to say, a year, at least 2 years. You don't know what's happening now with the COVID virus and production's being put on hold, but barring, you know, work and whatever else is developing my life, if there is a chance for me to play US Survivor, I won't pass that up.
Well, hopefully no one watches the season if they're playing with you. We just kind of keep that on the down low. Don't spread the word about it because it's going to make you pretty threatening.
That's the tricky thing. Yeah, that's the tricky thing. Like, where would I fit into a US season? Do I come back as someone who's played previously? Do I go into a newbie season? Would that be unfair? I'm not sure how I slot into the casting process there. But, there's doings are transpiring. So we'll figure something out. Because I would like to get more money.
Fair enough. Well, I think we talked about it last. I'm not sure if you spoke about it in the deep dive, but I really feel like US Survivor is a great format for you, and Australian Survivor is really not a good format for someone of your archetype, and you still made it work, which is just so impressive. We are going to get into so much more on the deep dive, which we'll do very soon. I will message you as soon as we get off this line.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to it.
It'll be amazing. Thank you so much for coming on for The Exit. I cannot wait for the deep dive, and congratulations again.
Thanks, Shannon. I hope I wasn't sounding too irritable today. I've been up since 3 a.m.
Literally not at all. If that's your version of irritable, maybe I can see why you won.
Okay. Well, have a lovely day. Thanks for talking.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Sean, welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm so sorry. You came so, so close again, and I'm so, so sorry to see it go down like that, but congrats on a great game.
No, thank you very much, Shannon.
I have a lot of questions. I know that we're going to be talking more in depth later, but let's hit the main things while we have you. I wanted to know, the main thing on everyone's mind, if you win that challenge and you were so close to doing so, who would you have taken?
The $500,000 question, isn't it? Because obviously I'd made that promise to Dave out there, but at the end of the day, I was playing really closely with Mo. So I think maybe I would have taken and we would have had an all-girl final. But because I wasn't in that position, I didn't have to go through all those thoughts, because obviously I wanted to be in that position to be able to choose.
Yeah, whose votes were you hoping to get against Mo and against Dave?
Okay, so obviously, I mean, all the jury would be fantastic, but Mo's obviously, and Tarzan's. And then I also thought maybe AK and Shawnee. I thought I might have Shawnee this time, and Harry even. So I got a bit of love and support from Harry during Tribal, so I thought maybe I'd have their vote. I didn't think I'd have Brooke and Lockie's vote.
If you were against Mo, who do you think you could have got?
Oh, I think I would have got probably Lockie's. I reckon I would have got Harry, Shawnee, and AK, and I probably would have got Dave as well, maybe, hopefully, and Jackie too. And that would have been good for me if I'd been sitting there with her at the end. I think I would have had a chance at, you know, getting most of the votes from the jury.
I'm really interested in this relationship with Mo. I know that you guys were close before you even went out there. Did you feel that relationship was very pivotal to your game?
I think for me, I just knew Mo. I think definitely having a relationship helps you read the person better. So you know when they're telling you the truth or they're lying to you, and you've got that experience to go from. So that helped me gauge where Mo was at during the game. And so when she was telling me things, I knew I could trust her from that perspective. So it's definitely something I used to my advantage.
What about Dave? You know, you take him all the way to Final Three and then he wins the challenge. When, if ever, did you consider taking him out?
So when Tribe Swap happened, I wanted to take Dave out straight away. I was already working with Nick, and Phoebe joined us, and I said to Phoebe, let's vote Dave at the next Tribal. She didn't want to do that. She wanted with someone I could trust, and I was, you know, happy to have her in the game. So there was a bit of a standoff between Phoebe and I. I was like, Dave's the most dangerous player. Let's get rid of him. But she wouldn't do it. And then Nick wouldn't do it either, because Phoebe wouldn't do it. But Nick was keen on the idea. I think he was tossing up. So that just didn't get any support. So that was the first time. And then the second time was obviously when we were getting down to about that 7 number. But then I knew Dave had an idol. So I thought, well, that's a bit dangerous to be trying to blindside him when he's got an idol. It's a bit of a risk.
Yeah, I mean, did you ever consider flushing the idol, maybe teaming up with Vakuma at points, like at a Final Six, for example, to try and flush that idol to make him vulnerable later? Or at that point, you were just kind of locked and loaded with Dave?
Yeah, look, I think I was locked and loaded with Dave, and I think the issue was that the Vakumas were clearly not keen on working with me from the start when it came to the vote post-merge. You'll remember that it was Lockie and I that caught all the votes and Lockie went home. So I knew they wanted me out. They were pretty hell-bent on that. So for me to go and then side with them, I knew I'd be in the bottom of that alliance and it wouldn't take me very far at the end. So I had to be smart about my moves.
Another big thing that we saw was that you whispered Mo to Tarzan during that rock vote, which we'll get into. So, you know, that was something that was asked at Final Tribal Council. The answer kind of went a bit back and forth. What was the reasoning behind that?
Well, obviously, the object of the game is to be the sole survivor, and I was just trying to save my skin. I knew that there was a chance we were going to go to look. Tarzan might vote for Mo if he thought, okay, that's a good move for him, or, you know, to save Jackie. Because at that point in the game, Tarzan had started to make noises about flipping on people. So I thought, okay, well, if he said that to me about other people, maybe he'll do it now. I was just doing everything I could to avoid going to rocks because I knew that was likely, because I knew the others wouldn't want to budge on that. And then that didn't work, so I had to convince the others, not to go to rocks.
Yeah, looking back on that vote, such a pivotal vote, do you look back like maybe you should have taken the rock, or you stand by convincing Vakama to come with you? But, you know, it felt like the jury votes were on the table, like they were openly spoken about at that tribal council.
Yeah, you know what, Shannon, I still am happy with that I was able to persuade them. I wouldn't risk going to rocks in the game of Survivor, because it was a 1-4. I mean, sure, if they're odds were better, I might have risked it, but I just thought it was foolish to put your hand into a bag and draw out a rock and hope for the best. So, yeah, no, I stand by my decision to do that. And at the end of the day, I persuaded them, I convinced them. What a great gameplay, and I was hoping that the jury might see that at the end.
Then the other rock decision was AK's question at the final tribal, not to pick the rock. What was your rationale behind not going for rocks there as well?
You've got to back yourself. I was proud of my game, and I thought, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to back my game. When AK, you know, proposed that idea, I thought, well, that's kind of cute, and I humoured him, but I was never going to go to rocks at that final tribal. I was always going to back myself.
You know, coming off the rocks tribe, you said you were locked and loaded with Dave. Obviously, you promised yourself to Vakama as well. Was there any part of you that considered even remotely working with them? You know, you talked about being obviously on the bottom of that and how they wanted to work with you. But did you think, even temporarily, did you entertain the idea?
Survivor, you've got to be able to assess your options and make the correct choices. So I did. I it wasn't a done deal that I wasn't going to work with them. I mean, I had an alliance with Mo and Dave, but I thought if I actually thought I would have been able to infiltrate their alliance of three, taking that as an option. But I knew they were really tight, and I knew that I wouldn't be able to break that. So I wasn't going to hand over the power to them.
As someone, you know, who's been to the final tribal council twice, I loved your opening arguments last night. Where do you feel your strengths and weaknesses lie in that format?
In being in final tribal?
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I think my strengths definitely lie in my ability to address a jury, because that's what I do as a living and for a profession. Sorry, that's what I do in my profession and for a living. But at the end of the day, I think, I suppose, an inability to connect in that way with them. I'm not used to that. And I think what Dave said last night at the finale was interesting. The fact that he's been on a jury, he knows what to expect. I think that did help him at the end of the day. I haven't had that experience. My strengths lie, though, in my ability to pitch. It's just my weaknesses in trying to convince them to vote for me, obviously, because I haven't got the vote.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's unfortunate to go there, you know, to the end twice, but at the same time, like, that's 100 days, which is really impressive. Having had that experience twice, it's not something that a lot of people have had. And you spoke about how you never want to be on a survivor jury because you can never be in a jury in real life. Do you look back now and would you rather have had that experience of being on the jury, or are you like happy to have that rare honor of having been at the final tribal council two times?
I'm super proud that I've been to final tribal twice. I definitely take that as the option. I stand by that. I don't want to be on the survivor jury, so I'm glad I made it to the end again.
You'll never get it. You'll never get to see Jury Villa, Sean. You never get the joys of Jury Villa. You're the one person who just like evades Jury Villa.
Players have told me what it's like. That doesn't sound like I'm missing out on too much. I don't think I'd rather stay in the game. Rock it. That's what we went out to do. So I'm glad I got to do it twice.
Well, Sean, we're going to talk way more in depth, hopefully with a better connection as well. Before I let you go, I do have to ask, would you play again?
Oh my gosh, I'm getting asked this question so much today. Look, it's a bit like when you have a child, you know, childbirth. After that, you're like, no, I'm never doing that again. That's how I feel at the moment, but who knows down the track. My mantra is never say never, so who knows, you might see me out there again.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Sean. I'm sorry that we couldn't talk for longer and that the connection wasn't great, but we'll definitely be chatting later on.
Yeah, okay. See ya. Bye.
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 Hi, Mo. Welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm sorry that you came so close last night. 49 days in the game is no easy feat. Congratulations on a great game.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. Definitely isn't easy, and it definitely wasn't easy to watch.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean, that's crushing, especially having just seen your family. But at least, you know, you can say that you got that close. You know, bittersweet, I'm sure. And, you know, to get to some of these pressing questions, I have to know, had you won that challenge, who would you have been taking to the end?
I think, you know, I was very, very competitive. I am very competitive. And, you know, I think the island does crazy things to you as well. So I think this is probably going to be the only question I can't answer truly, because if I was going to be really competitive, I wanted to take somebody that I knew would give me a run and be like a final tribal challenge. That's why I went to the end with Dave and Shanks. I wanted to be three really, really good players. So I don't know. I can't answer. I'm not going to give you an answer. I'm sorry.
Whose votes were you hoping to get at a final tribal council against both Dave or Sean?
I think for me it was more being able to tell my story, earning respect and gaining votes. That would have been what I was going through. I knew that, you know, I was pretty tight with Charzy, with Zach, with Jackie, with Brookie, you know, so I feel like the others such as, you know, AK and Harry and Shawnee and Lockie, they were more, they're big game players, they're super fans. So I knew that telling my story would be able to potentially influence their vote.
Who did you consider your closest ally? We know that, as you said, all of those connections you just mentioned, you had a lot of close allies on the beach. Could you give us a name for number one?
I reckon I'm going to go with Dave. Absolutely love Dave. You know, I went with him through the whole game. Everyone knows I'm, you know, Matty Rogers like a brother outside of the game and Sean's like a sister. So Dave and I just created a friendship that will last forever.
How did that relationship with Dave evolve? You're on different sides in the very, very early stages of the game. Obviously, it evolves to be one of the most crucial components of the season. How did it get to that point?
It's funny because I went from saying, I don't trust him, into, okay, I'm going to use him. You know, he's a very big game player, massive shield, you know, takes a lot of, attraction of voting me out. And then also we just formed a really good friendship. We had similar values when it comes to family. And then once we had a few conversations, it was a no-brainer.
How did it work, though? Because you vote against his side. You vote against Phoebe, who was his ally at that time. Phoebe votes against him as well, and she pays for it. She suffers for it. How did you rebound from that to have such a good connection with him?
Because I never lied to him, or I didn't portray him. You know, I knew Dave. I knew Dave needed my numbers, but I also needed his shield. So for me, it was smart to keep him around, and also knew Phoebe wanted him out before merch, and I didn't want that because that wouldn't be good for my play.
Yeah, I mean, crazy that it ends up you guys being so important. You know, Sean, as you've said, you have a relationship with her outside of the game from beforehand. How did that work into your relationship on the island?
Oh, yeah, Sean's a pretty amazing human. She's, you know, I think, you know, her and I are close outside the game. She did a lot to help me set up my sister's school and stuff. So in the game, I was loyal to her just as I was to Dave and Tarzan. And, you know, that's the one thing about me. If you're loyal and real to me, I'm that back to you. And that's the way I was with her as well.
What do you consider your biggest move in the game? You know, obviously saw, you know, as you said, you played like a quiet game, making big moves kind of behind the scenes. What do you consider your biggest move or two in the game?
How long do you have? I think that I wasn't able to tell my full story, so I can't give you anything in depth. But, you know, I think, you know, making it into top three it with a cast of people who are enormously amazing at their gameplay is a pretty big move in itself. You know, because everyone has a part to play in all moves. So for me, it's making it the top three amongst everything else.
Did you ever consider taking Dave out at any point after you had, you know, linked up at that post-swap?
No, never did. I always protected him. I always stopped him from blindsiding him. I wouldn't accept anyone's blindside on him. You know, I said from the moment I merged with him that I'd go with him top three with Sean, and I meant that, and I helped protect him and made sure that I kept my promises. I'm not going to just bring that because he's good at the game. Like, I'm competitive. I want to go against that. Like, I want to sit at the end with that. I want to give my story, let him give his story, and then let people vote. That was my goal.
You know, looking at the jury, there was a lot of people kind of from either alliance. We've heard in other exit interviews about how strong that divide was, firstly on the first Vakama between the two alliances, and then even coming into the merge with the two alliances. Did you see it as that big a divide between the groups?
I think there was a divide, I think because everyone played the games before, they knew what they wanted, they knew who they wanted to align with, they knew each other already outside of the game. You know, even hear about people who spoke about the game before going into the game. So people knew what they wanted to do. I knew who people were loyal and who I wanted to align with, and I aligned with them early, and I stuck with them all the way through. So it was a divide, but it was a divide based on people's preference.
I wanted to talk about the final eight. Tribal Council with the Rocks, that was kind of crazy. Firstly, how did it go so south with Jackie so quickly? It seems like she brought you in on the plan against Zach. You were in on it, you were with her, and then, like, she was cut immediately after. So where did it go so wrong for Jackie?
Jackie's awesome. She was very, very good. But I think she got caught up in, and you know, in the other lines. But Jackie, after that Zach vote, which went perfectly, then I found out the next day she had put my name down and was coming for me, and I just thought, well, I'm going to take you before you take me.
Right. How did you find out that she was coming for you?
Tazi told me.
Right.
Because Jackie liked venting to Tazi, and Tazi told me Jackie was coming for me.
Yeah, that sounds like a Tarzan move. It tracks. Something we've heard, not on the show, but have heard kind of out of that, was that you told Dave to play his idol on Zach. Is that true?
It is true. Yeah, I did tell him to play his idol on Zach because I wanted to flush his idol, you know, because I didn't want him, you know, pulling any funny buggers before top five. But either way, for me, if he flushed it, great. If he didn't flush it, great. I took out his closest ally. So for me, it was a win-win. It's not as big a deal as everyone's making it out to be. You know, just because, you know, they can't show everything that happens, but what they show is quality TV.
Well, I mean, I think that makes your reconnection with Dave, or the fact that it didn't fracture that alliance, even more impressive, because, you know, he didn't come back and suspect that you'd known anything after that, after you had the intel that he should have played his idol?
Yeah, I'm just really disappointed they didn't show my really good acting, like, you know, because I, you know, played that down really well. But yeah, I think that just shows the trust, but then also the need Dave had met. As soon as Zach went, you know, Dave went from thinking about his next move to going, okay, I've got to worry about staying in the game. So who's my closest allies? And that's just the way Dave works. He's very good at the game. It's the same as Sean. She's very good at the game. If they're both one step ahead, you're very far behind. So for me, it was making sure that they're both always on their toes and always relying on the votes that I had.
Yeah, I mean, you seem to have so much trust in Sean. Like, people came to you, something, you know, she even put your name down at that pre-merge tribal council. Tarzan said that she had said your name at that tribal council post-merge, and you just stuck with it and you thought she was going to be loyal to you the whole time. Like, how did you have that much trust in her, and did you ever doubt it?
I think for me, you just kind of have to go in the game and just, like, that's me. I am the kind of person that trusts everyone until I'm proven wrong. And still, like, it's a game. Like, I'm not, like, one of those people that are talking about it or crying about the edit or anything like that. It's a game. And Sean did what Sean had to do, and I don't hold it against her. I still, if I had to go play with her again, I'd trust her. You know, it's, you know, it was hard watching her try and vote me out, but at the same time, she's doing what she's going to do.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard anecdotally that you were the one vote for Sian. So can you confirm that? And if so, what was the rationale behind your vote?
I think we can confirm that Dave won Australian Survivor All-Stars, and that's all that matters. Like, I don't want the attention to take the fact that Dave won, he played an epic game. Sian, the only person in that game to ever play 100 days, doesn't really matter who voted for who. All that matters is that Dave won.
Yeah, I mean, he played a great game. But like, at the same time, I think people are just kind of interested in who that vote was. You went out 4 days after you got married. As a recent newlywed myself, that's kind of crazy to me. I couldn't, like, walk after my wedding. So what was that like to go out within the week you got married?
It was hard. It was hard leaving my wife at home. It was hard leaving family. It was definitely challenging. Yeah, I still can't believe I did. I can't believe I went from being married on Saturday to scooting Tarzan on Thursday. it was definitely a change up for me.
Not the honeymoon you had envisioned, perhaps.
Oh, the honeymoon just without the honey.
was there anyone that you wanted to work with that you just didn't get a chance to, that was maybe, you know, you never swapped to be with them and then they got voted out before you got to play with them?
Yeah, you know who I really like to play with, because she's very loyal, would be Shawnee. I think Shawnee just proved her loyalty the whole game, you know, especially with Harry. And I love loyal people and I like funny people, and Shawnee's both of those things. So I wish I could have played a little bit more with Shawnee.
And then the final question I have to ask you, Mo, is would you play again if the opportunity came up?
It's so funny because somebody said, well, I do blood versus water. If they did it. And I honestly would. I do like the game. And, you know, who wouldn't? You'd be crazy not to want to play.
Yeah, well, it was great to chat to you again. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, and congrats again on 49 days. That is very impressive.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Thanks so much. Bye. Okay, everyone, there you have it. That is the end of the exit interview series for Australian Survivor All-Stars. As I said, that will lead into the deep dives that are to come. But so much content happening. As I mentioned before, Mike Bloom will be with me tonight to recap the finale, the reunion, the season at large. I think we have a lot to talk about, so don't miss that. If you are watching Survivor Winners at War, I continue to recap that. I think I'm going to try to be doing that every week from now on in some capacity, because I'm not doing a lot else. We are in lockdown and it's such a great season. I'm loving recapping it. So I chatted to Leroux Bouta, who is the Survivor South Africa executive producer and series director, about that last week on Survivor Global. And next week I'll be chatting to Pia Miranda about that. So if you're wondering, what am I going to do with my time now that Australian Survivor is over? You can watch US Survivor in Australia. There are ways, 9 now. It's on Channel 9. I'm not sure I should be plugging Channel 9 on this podcast, but yeah, it's all available for you for free and legally. So it's such a great season. Highly, highly recommend. And if you do watch it, please do check out the Survivor Global coverage that I'm doing on RHAP with some great Australian Survivor, Survivor South Africa, and Survivor New Zealand guests. So hope you guys enjoyed this. Hope you enjoy all the content to come. As always, thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next time. Bye.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.